This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Right, shall we get into the best part of the whole week? You know, this is the part where we smash through the universe to find out all the secrets inside. Good, hello, welcome along. My name's Dan, this is the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Oh, and speaking of secrets, today we'll talk about some that have been uncovered in America that explain something extraordinary about the end of the dinosaurs. Also, we'll learn about floating bits of rock underneath our feet that shift around all the time and cause earthquakes, which are pretty dangerous, I think you'll agree. And I'll answer some of your questions. First, let's catch up with our alien best mates, N and G, who still, for some reason, haven't got back home yet.
N and G's Meet a Motivator.
So, guys, you know all about energy, right?
No, we are energy.
Well, you know I'm trying to be a meter motivator. That means knowing all the ways you can save energy and prevent waste. So, got any tips?
Of course. Let's start in the kitchen. Did you know most of you humanoids use more energy in the kitchen than in any other room? So let's get cooking.
Microwaves cook food more quickly than ovens and so use less energy. So if you need to heat something up, give it a ping.
And if you're using the cooker, did you know you could turn off the hob or the oven before the end of the cooking time and the heat takes a while to reduce so the job can finish for free?
There's no point in boiling more water than you need for a tasty hot drink. You're only wasting energy. Only put the amount of water you need in the kettle. And don't forget to finish making the drink, or you'll be boiling it all again.
If you drink a lot of tea, why not make up a flask? You'll only need to boil the kettle once, and you'll always have a hot cup to hand.
Steaming is not only a healthy way to cook vegetables, you can stack different ingredients in tiers to steam, meaning you only use one hob.
And get your hands dirty. Use a hand whisk, not an electric mixer. And if there's only one or two plates to wash, wash them by hand, instead of using your dishwasher-matics. It'll help you build up an appetite.
And if you do have a machine or robot helper to wash your dishes, check out the different settings. There might be super-fast low-energy cycles, which will use less energy and save you money too.
And the top tip of all, watch your smart meter energy display. Keep an eye on what you're spending on gas and electricity as you go along. It will remind you to try out energy-saving techniques, and you'll notice if you've accidentally left something switched on.
That's brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to you, Earthling. You're becoming a real meter motivator.
Watch out. Looks like we're gonna fuse, G. Time for us to pop.
Here it comes, whoopee. I love a bit of fusion. See ya, kid.
Bye, Energy. And thanks.
Here it comes.
Motivator with N and G with support from Smart Energy GB. Find out more at funkinslive.com/energy.
Right, it's time to answer some of your questions that you've left over on Apple Podcasts. This is from Arthur Brooker. Hey Arthur, who asks, why can't we breathe oxygen underwater? Now, it's really simple, this one, actually, Arthur. Thanks for asking it. It's always nice to go through it. We can't breathe underwater because our lungs, they don't have enough surface area to absorb the oxygen that's under there. You see, the lungs, they're not just two big bags of air sucking in and out. They're two big bags filled with loads of tiny bags inside. And the surface area of all of those tiny bags, it adds together to make quite a lot. And that's brilliant at sucking the oxygen out of the air. They've been specifically designed to handle the air, or they've evolved that way. But they can't do it in fluid because not enough oxygen can absorb through the water, through the surface area, through our lungs and then into the blood. That's kind of why it's all to do with that, Arthur. Thanks for the question. This is from Fun Zombies as well, who is five. Fun Zombies over on Apple Podcasts asks, why the sun is so hot? Well, Senior Fun, this is all to do with nuclear fusion. You see, the sun creates its energy by turning hydrogen into helium. And that chemical reaction, kind of what it is, that nuclear fusion makes it so hot. It creates heat. It creates light. The sun's surface is 6,000 Kelvin, which is around 10,340 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's that hot because it needs to make all the energy that helps keep us alive. It's amazing when you think about it, isn't it, fun zombies? How everything works together to help out, really, everything else in the universe. Thank you so much for the question. If you've got a sciencey thought rattling around your brain that you need answered, fire it over to me. I'll do my best to find out the answer. You can send it as a review over on Apple Podcasts. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Now, this Easter, Twycross Zoo is welcoming some critically endangered black rhinos. And Michaela Perry is a senior education officer at Twycross. She's on the phone to tell us a bit more about why. Hey, Michaela.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, these black rhinos, we hear a lot in the news that they are endangered. But why are they finding it so hard to stay alive?
Well, unfortunately, rhino horn is very valuable. It's used in traditional medicines. Actually, rhino horn is made out of something called keratin, which is the same thing that's found in our hair and our nails. So it doesn't really have any medicinal value, but unfortunately, these are traditions that have been happening for a long time, so it's hard to change people's beliefs, and that is the main reason why rhinos are so endangered, because they are killed for their horns.
And if you can, tell us a bit more about the actual black rhino. This sounds like quite a cruel way of putting it, but what do they kind of add to our world, to our ecosystem? Why are they such a special species?
Well, they're a mega herbivore, so they're a large animal and they eat lots of vegetation. So their dung provides lots of nutrients for the soil and for lots of bugs that live in their ecosystem, and those bugs recycle their poo and put the nutrients back into the soil. So without rhino, lots of species, lots of plant animal species would suffer.
And where, I mean, I know that they're coming to Twycross, but where could we usually find them in the wild? Where do they call their home?
Okay, so we have eastern black rhino, which is a subspecies of black rhino, which are found in Africa.
Just standardly in Africa, I like that. So they're endangered.
Eastern black rhino are critically endangered.
Do you know what it needs to be critically endangered?
So the IUCN is the body that decides the conservation status of every species, and they will look at how many of them there are left in the wild, the threats that they are facing, such as poaching, habitat loss, and they will decide on their conservation status. So critically endangered means that their numbers are going down quite dramatically in the wild, very quickly.
And because they are, as you say, so critically endangered, there's clearly a lot to do to help home these species. How have Twycross had to adapt their facilities to help home these creatures?
Okay, so Nandi, the female rhino that has joined us, she came from a zoo in Germany. They're part of the European Endangered Species Programme. So it was decided that she would come over here, and hopefully later in the year we will bring in a male in the hope that they will breed. The enclosures she's gone into used to house elephants. So we have had to adapt our enclosure quite a bit. Elephants are a species that live in a herd, whereas rhino are solitary. They live by themselves. So we've had to make sure there are areas in the enclosure where they can be separated if need be. And we've also had to make sure that the fences are the right height and have the right width between them for rhino, because they are a little bit smaller than elephants. So we've had to make quite a few changes to the enclosures.
And these are big old beasts. And coming over from Germany, how much of a hassle was it moving the rhinos between zoos and countries and over continents?
Yeah, so I'm sure, as you can imagine, there's a lot of paperwork involved. There is legislation or international laws in place to make sure that these critically endangered species are protected when they are moving from one country to the next. So the keepers that work with her in Leipzig Zoo in Germany, they came with her to make sure she was calm and her welfare was really important. That was the main thing that we have to consider when we move them over, making sure she's calm and she's happy. So her keepers travelled with her and they spent a few days here as well to just help her settle in to the zoo when she arrived.
Now, aside from just separating creatures if they need to be kept apart, how else is the zoo trying to help save the species?
So as I mentioned, the hope is that later on in the year, we will have a male that will join her, and hopefully they will have babies. So they are part of the European Endangered Species Programme. So that means we work with zoos across Europe to try and maintain a healthy captive population of these animals.
Are they a hard animal to take care of, do you think, Michaela?
Well, luckily we have a really well-trained, really passionate team of keepers. They know just what they're doing and how to look after her. This has involved going to other zoos to do some training with working with rhino. It is a new species for Twycross Zoo. We've not had this species before, so our keepers have gone off to other zoos where they have rhino to learn about how to look after these animals, so they are well prepared for looking after Nandi.
And stating the obvious, but the real benefit of the zoo is that we can go along and we can see these creatures, you know, in action, what they're really like in the wild, and by going, we can, you know, donate money to help save them. How can we see more of Nandi?
Okay, so she will be on show here at Twycross from the beginning of the Easter holiday, so that's from Monday next week. So anyone can come along to see her from Monday. And yeah, as you said, the benefit is that people can come and see these animals for themselves and hopefully be inspired to help protect these animals. And to do that, it's really easy. Just support your local zoo. It might seem like these animals are thousands of miles away from us, but it's so easy to contribute to the conservation of these animals. Support your local zoo, support the conservation work that they are doing.
I'm excited to check in a few months' time and see that it's going well. Michaela Perry, thank you so much for joining us on the Fun Kids Science Weekly.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
It's time for this week's Dangerous Dan, where we look at some of the most mean and deadly things in the world. And this one quite literally shakes the ground. You see, the surface of the world is made of tectonic plates, and they fit together in a sphere, kind of, on the globe, a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. And the places where these plates meet and touch is called a fault. Now, these tectonic plates, they're actually floating on a thick layer of hot flowing rock called the mantle. And that flow of rock beneath them, it's constantly shifting, it's moving. And that forces the massive tectonic plates to move and rub against each other. And there are these faults all over the world, where the Pacific plate meets the Indo-Australian plate. It's called the Alpine Fault. The Pacific plate meets the North American plate at the Denali Fault. And when these plates move and rub together, the friction that is caused makes earthquakes. But these can be quite hard to avoid because loads of people live on a fault. For instance, it was reported last year that the Hayward Fault, which runs through California on the west coast of America, was due to suddenly shift. Scientists were expecting the plates to move, but millions of people live there. But if these tectonic plates move and causes the Hayward Fault to make an earthquake, things can get extremely dangerous extremely quickly.
On the Fun Kids website this week, there's a brand new series all about the Internet of Things. Technomum is going to be telling us all about how your iPad talks to your car, or your house, or your body. Plus, there's a chance to win a nature kit, an Amazon smart speaker, and loads more. Just visit funkidslive.com on your computer, phone, or tablet.
Right, let's get some of your gadget questions answered by our geeky guru with another episode of Technomum.
Technomum, engineering explorers.
Tidying my room is so boring. Picking everything up and putting it away, or throwing it away. Yuck! How long has that banana skin be there?
How are you getting on? I bought the vacuum cleaner up. I only hope it's strong enough to cope.
Never mind the hoovering. Why can't someone invent a machine to do all the tidying?
Maybe you could invent one yourself. It's a real job, you know, making new machines.
You mean I could be a robotic slave overlord, creating an army of mechanoids to do my bidding?
I mean you could be a mechanical engineer. It's a type of engineering which is almost as old as humans.
Are you sure about that, Mum? I don't think cavemen had vacuum cleaners.
Machinery is anything which does a job. Even creating a spear is engineering. Hang on, I'll explain. All machines have something in common. Like I say, they're designed to do a job. Maybe the job is to vacuum the carpet. Perhaps it's to screw a light bulb into a street lamp or assemble a mobile phone in a factory. Whatever it is, mechanical engineers design, produce and operate machinery to carry out the work.
So, mechanical engineers are kind of like inventors?
Sometimes, yes. Other times, they'll be helping an inventor to create their machine. Mechanical engineers understand the science behind movement and understand the properties of different materials. They also have to understand how the environment around a machine will affect things. Heat or cold can change how materials behave, so a machine which is working with molten steel might have to be built of metals which can withstand hot temperatures. Or if a machine is part of a marine expedition, it'll need to be able to function in water and cope with high pressures.
And they'll have to build it out of a material that doesn't rust.
That's right. Machines sent into space have to be built to withstand extremes of temperature and a lot of radiation. And as there aren't any petrol stations in space, their power supplies have to be carefully designed to use what solar power they can gather. As you can see, different machines have different demands.
Sounds like there's a lot to learn about.
Yes, and it's a job which overlaps with lots of other types of engineering. Mechanical engineers often need to know computer programming, or how chemicals behave, how things fly or swim, or what keeps structures stable. The possibility for creating amazing new machinery is astounding. Check out this video.
Cool robot? What's it doing?
This is STAR, Smart Tissue Autonomous Robot. It's a robot surgeon that's more accurate than a human when making incisions or stitching up tissue. Or how about Zhao Yi, a robot doctor? Scientists have uploaded hundreds of medical textbooks into its databanks, and it's programmed to ask questions. Engineers behind these medical robots will have had to spend a long time designing the robotic system, choosing materials and tools with which to build them, and then carrying out lots of tests, making changes when things didn't work as planned. All that hard work has been worth it. These are machines that might help to save lives.
That's so cool.
There are stacks of cool engineering jobs out there, almost as many as the stacks of comics under your bed. Are you sure you need to keep them all?
Mum!
Engineering Explorers, created with support from the Institution of Engineering and Technology to celebrate the Year of Engineering. Find out more at funkidslive.com/technomum.
Let's talk about all the science that's been all over your news this week. Now, scientists have found an extraordinary snapshot of the fallout from the asteroid impact that wiped out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. Excavations in North Dakota, in America, have revealed fossils of fish and trees that were sprayed with rocky fragments that fell from the sky. They think that this might be debris thrown into the air when the asteroid hit Chicxulub in Mexico. Also, the loneliest frog is now living with a mate. Romeo, once known as the world's loneliest frog, spent 10 years living alone in an aquarium because he was thought to be the last of the Suquencas water frogs until another was found in a Bolivian forest. And in January, they went on their first date, and now they're looking inseparable. And finally, dubstep could help you avoid mosquito bites. You see, the massive bangers, the music, it tricks the mosquitoes to think that they're finding a mate. And the low-frequency vibrations of dance music confuse the bugs, which could distract them from searching for blood to snack on. Because they'll think they're heading on a date, they won't really be focused on getting some dinner. Brilliant news, I think, if you don't really like the mosquitoes, if you're going on holiday soon. And that is it for this week's Fun Kids Science Weekly. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. Remember, if you've got a sciencey question racking around your head, you want the answer, you just can't sleep at night, someone told you something at school that you thought, there's no way that is true, well, I can help you figure out if it is or not. You need to send a question to me as a review over on Apple Podcasts. Search for the Fun Kids Science Weekly on there, drop your name, leave us 5 stars. There's a little comment box at the bottom on Apple Podcasts. That's where you write your question. Also, while you're on there, it's one of the best places that you can find all of the brilliant science series that we do on Fun Kids. You've heard some today. We've got loads more. They are free for you to find on Apple Podcasts, all other good podcast places. They're on the free Fun Kids app and at funkidslive.com as well. And you can hear us, Fun Kids. We're a digital radio station in the UK. Find us all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on that free Fun Kids app and at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station, Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.